Well, it's a delight to be with you, dear people. I haven't been here for a while, but you'll have to forgive me for that. But you know, I look over this congregation and I think, you know, if you were going to be a member of this church, or it seems to me you'd have to have at least a couple of semesters at UBC behind you. You would have to be Chinese. And you'd have to be a singer, a good singer, and you certainly would have to be good-looking, and so on. But such a delight to be with you. We have a refreshment in our souls these days on the grace of God and how good He has been to us in giving us good things. A wonderful thing is that we have the gift of each other, and it's a delight to have His blessed word. Well, we're going to look at these passages here today, and so on. And I'm reminded today of Robert and I of 10. You know, your good man Robert, dear Pauline, but he and I went to the same school, not at the same time. No. He's not that old, and so on. But we went to Bob Jones University. And in Greenville, South Carolina. And the founder of the school came out with a quote, and he said this: "When the flower of gratitude has been plucked from a man's cheek, that man is well nigh gone." Thanksgiving, gratitude, a wonderful thing. And it's part and parcel of the life of everybody who is a believer in Christ Jesus. This psalm in 100 that Edwin has read this morning is a psalm of thanksgiving. And we must cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving in our lives if we're going to be the kind of Christians that we really should be. Twice in this psalm, it says here that of giving of thanks. Now, when God tells us one thing, when He says it once, we should take note. But when God in heaven says it twice, brother, we better listen. You that have had kids, if you've had girls, I didn't have any boys, but we had girls. But if I had to speak to my girls once, that was something. But brother, if I had to speak twice, they really better listen. All right, so He's spoken it twice to us and told us that we should have a spirit of thanksgiving in this passage. In Luke chapter 17, if you'd like to turn there, please. Luke chapter 17 in the gospel and of the Lord Jesus as He is speaking to the crowd. Luke chapter 17, and we find here something about thanksgiving that is very profound, very, very important. And when God does something for us, we really need to take heed. Luke chapter 17 and verses 16 and 17. Now here we find the occasion of the leper. Jesus had come into town and we find these lepers were there and so on. And they needed healing. They needed a touch of God in their lives. And so God does heal them. And after He heals them, He sends them in to report this to the priest and so on. And while they are going, the healing takes place. But when they are gone, only one of them returns to give thanks. Now let me read in verse 16. "And this one leper fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Don't you find that amazing? That sometimes that God will do a wonderful thing in our lives, and we don't return to give thanks. Oh, dear, we must give thanks. We must always give thanks to God for His many blessings to us. The songwriter put it this way. He said, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." When we're down, this is a time we want to give thanks. I'm always amazed at some people how thankful they can really be. So here we have it. The next thing to our salvation, I think we would have to admit, would be the fact that we have the freedom that we enjoy in this country, and how good God is to give us that kind of freedom in our souls. When we were bringing up our girls, and they were just kids, it was amazing how we had to always remind them to pause and to say thank you when somebody did something for them. And a lesson that we have to learn. Why is it we have to learn a lesson like that? Well, we read over in the book of Romans in chapter 1 that classifying those that didn't know Christ as Savior, those that were unregenerate, they were classified as those who what? Were unthankful, without gratitude in their lives. So, but a lost person, what's he going to thank God for? Well, he's not going to thank God because he doesn't know God as his Savior and Lord. I'm reminded of the preacher who was taking his daily walk every morning, and he walked down this street, and as he walked by this one house, there was a lady there every morning, and she was sitting on her porch. And as he walked by, she would say, good morning, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Good morning, thank you, Lord, praise you, Jesus. Well, one morning he thought, I got to find out why this lady is always saying, thank you, Jesus. Well, he was thankful and so on, but he was curious to know why she would be saying, thank you, Jesus, so often. So he went through the gate, he walked up to the porch, and he spoke to her, and he says, ma'am, he says, I notice that every morning I walk by here, you've got a cheerful attitude, and you're always thanking Jesus. And he said, I'm just curious as to why you would be saying that all the time. Well, she said, sir, she says, I thank Jesus, I've got two teeth. Well, he said, you know, I've got a whole mouthful of teeth, but I don't give God much praise and thanks for the two teeth. Oh, she said, you don't understand. She says, I just thank God my two teeth meet. Well, you know, we can always find something that we can be thankful to God. We can be thankful to God for. In 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there with me, please. We find there an interesting verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. All right, let's read this together. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Okay, he says there, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Now, I don't find that very easy to read that kind of a verse. There are some things in life that are not easy to be thankful for. I'm reminded of a friend of mine whose daughter was killed in a car accident in Alabama. And when the preacher came to his door to tell him about his lovely daughter, Elaine, getting killed in that car accident, when he heard the words that she had been killed, he said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. And sometimes in life, there are difficult things that we must always give thanks for. And if you sit here this morning, you can think of some very difficult things in your life that you'd have a hard time giving God praise and giving him thanks for it. But I'll tell you this, if you'll thank God for it, even though you don't understand what the problem, all the difficult thing it is, and you don't understand why God does some things, we must always pause to give him the thanks in every situation, whatever it might be. In Psalm 106, the psalmist doesn't say, just give thanks. He says, oh, give thanks to God. Oh means there's a lot of appreciation down inside. It's got to come from our heart if we're going to really give proper thanksgiving to God. Now, you're going to find that there's difficult times to do that, but always cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving to the Lord in all circumstances in your life. In John chapter 6, before Jesus distributed the bread to his disciples, and they were going to give that to the 10, 15,000 people that were out there, 5,000 men, and to feed them, when he made the distribution to his disciples, what did he do? He prayed. See, he prayed. Now I guess that's why it is that when we have our table prayer in our before we eat, that's where he comes from in John chapter 6, that we want to give thanks to God for his goodness. And oh my, how much thankfulness there ought to come from our very souls. In Psalm 78, the psalmist refers back to the book of Exodus, where God was raining down food from heaven for the Israelites as they're out in the wilderness. And then the food would come down, rain down food in the morning, and there would be food at night, and so on. And they spoke to the rock, and the water came out of the rock, and God was abundantly supplying, and so on. On this occasion, we find that as they were gobbling up their food, and it was still in their mouths, can you remember what God did? That's right. God killed them. You know why he killed them? He killed many of them because why? They didn't have a spirit of thanksgiving for what God had done for them, and they have a rebellious heart. Oh my, look at your heart this morning and see what goes on down inside. What is your relationship with God really all about? Is there a heart of appreciation there? Is there a thanksgiving to God? Is there glory for God? Is there a willingness to do what God wants you to do in life, and so on? Well, we need to do that. We need to pause to give God the thanks and give him the praise for what he's accomplished in our lives. In Matthew chapter 22, a lawyer came to Jesus, and he asked him, he said, Lord, Master, what is the greatest commandment? Now, he knows what Moses had given in Exodus chapter 22. He knows all about the Decalogue that had been given. He knows about all in Leviticus, all about the laws that were given in their eating and so on. He knew all about that. But here he says, what is the greatest commandment of all? Well, Jesus doesn't hesitate, but he tells him, he says, the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, with all of your heart. Have you ever thought what it means to really thank God from your heart? Really thank him from your heart? Well, I'll tell you what it really is in my estimation. To thank God with your heart is to thank him with a broken heart. Broken up. I mean all broken up. All broken up. And first of all, your unworthiness, the least of God's favors. And God expects us to have a heart that is all broken before him. Do you know the time that you were the closest to God is that when you have a broken heart, broken up over our unfaithfulness and our unworthiness, but broken up over our sin, broken up over our failures, broken up over the things in life that are so degrading, and broken up over his marvelous love for us. I think so oftentimes about how good God is. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The love of God in our lives. The love of God broken up over our love for him. We ask ourselves the question, how could he love me? How could he love me so? Because we are so unworthy of the least of his favors. How could he do that? When I step into glory, when I get into heaven, I suppose it won't be very long. I don't know. In a couple of years, I'm going to be 80. How much? But the point is, when I do get to glory, Do you know the very first thing I'm going to ask Jesus? The very first thing I'm going to ask him, why did you love me? Now, I don't know if God will answer me. And I don't know what kind of an answer he'll give. Because a lot of times I speak to God, well, I imagine lots of times he just laughs at me at the kind of things I say to him. I don't know. But the matter, I'm going to ask him why he loved me. Well, we'll leave it to him to tell me why it is that he's going to love me when I get to glory to see him there. And we'll find out what it is at that time. But always have a spirit of thanksgiving. You know, when it comes to being thankful to God, it's a matter that we have to work on this thing. We don't want a day to go by that we don't thank him. We don't want to rush into his presence without giving thanks to him and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you, God, for supplying my every need. Thank you for my dear wife. Thank you for our family. Thank you, God, for my church, and so on. Thank you, God, for our preacher. Now, I know you will have a little hard time this morning because you're without a preacher. Well, since you don't have a pastor of your church, it doesn't mean that you're just going to let it all go by the wayside. You know, this is a time when you could be praying, God, send us the preacher that we need. Send us the exact one you need. Now, it might surprise you. Wouldn't it shock you if God sent you a preacher that wasn't Chinese? I mean, how could you have a pastor that wasn't Chinese and speak Mandarin or Cantonese? Or Vancouverite, I don't know, one of those three, I guess. But the matter is, be praying for the preacher. And by the way, when Saturday night comes in your church, you know something? Don't let a Saturday night go by without you praying, God, bless the preacher that preaches to us tomorrow. Touch his lips, touch his heart, bless our church, and so on. And without a pastor, this is a time you can say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me a spiritual gift. And whatever my spiritual gift is, I'll find out as I serve God in this local church. And my spiritual gift is going to be of ministering to other people. And there's somebody else that has a need in here. And something else that I wanted to remind you of in that matter of your spiritual gift, whatever it is in this church, is that go across the aisle. Have you thought about that? Go across the aisle. You know what that means? That means if there's somebody here that you haven't seen before, why don't you go across the aisle and introduce yourself to them and make them feel at home? You know, it's not so much the doctrine in a church that's the drawing card to a particular church. It isn't so much the matter of the kind of a building that you've got, and you've got a lovely building. And I don't know a thing about your church except that you're a sweet bunch of people. But I do know this, that there will be people in here that have needs that you don't even know about. You thought, oh, everything's going fine for them. Everything's really going fine. You know, you say that's really going fine, but it might not be going so fine. They might be going through some terrible, difficult times in their life that only Jesus knows about. And, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you went up to them, put your arm around, say, well, how's it going, brother? Should we have a coffee? What I'm saying is, when you might be exercising a spiritual gift of encouragement. My wife and I, about a month ago, were on the campus over in South Carolina, and standing in front of the amphitheater, and this fellow rolled up in his Rolls Royce. That means it had two wheels and it had a motor on it, and he was rolling up here. And as he rolled up, and I exchanged a few pleasantries to him. This fellow was really gnarled up. He was a young, nice fellow. He really was. But going through a very difficult time right there. And it might have been for life that he was on this motorcade. But he started speaking. And do you know the sweetest words of appreciation and thanksgiving came from him? He made me feel awful. Because, I mean, I've been walking with Jesus for 60 years, but this fellow was just maybe 19 years of age. And he's thanking God for all the good things that God has done for him. What I'm saying is this. He had, in my estimation, a spiritual gift of encouragement. He really did have a spiritual gift of encouragement, encouraging others. If he could walk with God, if he could serve God and be happy in the things of God and in his situation the way he is, why wouldn't I be able to do the same? And so it is. We must always have a spirit of thanksgiving. And you can do that in this church when you're needed the most. Exercising your spiritual gifts without the leadership of a pastor is extremely important for you at this time. Now, we should be thankful. We should be thankful to God that we have the one and only true God. Did you hear me? You know, our God is the only God that is really God. He is God of gods. He is Lord of lords. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now be careful when we make that kind of a statement. And the reason I say that is this. Only but 10 days ago, the Prime Minister of the country has introduced a bill that is going to, that says this: it'll be prohibited by law for you to speak out against the religion of Islam. You can speak out against Christianity. You can speak out against Buddhism, but you're not going to be permitted by law to speak out against Islam. Now, why do I say that? I say that because there will come a day that we're going to have to pay a price for following the Lord Jesus Christ. We really will. And we must make up our minds now that we're going to anchor our lives in the Word of God and we're going to be faithful to Him no matter what. The Muslims killed 90,000 Christians in this past year of 2016. The Muslims are operating in all 50 states, and we've got to be very, very careful that we're going to be standing true to Him. Why? We have a God of truth, and He is the only truth. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? Well, what is truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only truth. I was speaking to a man in Chicago, and he asked me, he said, "I am seeking truth." I was delighted to tell him about the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, but he was seeking truth. There are a lot of people today that are searching after the truth. You know why I know that? Well, I know that because when I ask somebody, I say to them, "I'm a Gideon." And they'll say, "I don't know what a Gideon is." Well, I say, "You go to the hotel and you pull out the drawer. What do you find?" "You find a Bible." "That's interesting." "Oh, yeah, they know it's a Bible." Why? Because 20% of the people who check into a hotel will read a Gideon Bible. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there are a lot of people who are searching for something in life that makes sense. Something in life that would have them, as give them some security for the future. That's what it is. And so on. So we must be very careful that we're going to stand for God, we're going to walk with Him, we have the only truth, and we'll not apologize. And when it comes to the fact that we're going to be breaking the law, if we say that Jesus is the only way, we're going to have a task on our hands. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Because God is with us, and God will see to it, and He'll take care of us. In 1 Samuel chapter 45, God says, "I am the Lord, and besides me there's none else. I am the only way that there is. I am the only way. I am the truth. I am the life." Now, we read over in Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to read that verse with me, please. Isaiah 41 and verse 13. Isaiah 41 and verse 13. Let me read this verse to you. God says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help you." I will help you. Our God is able to hold us. He's able to keep us. He's able to bless us. He's able to take care of our every need. Isaiah chapter 49, God gives us a very powerful statement. In Isaiah 49 and verse 16, he says, Behold. The word behold is very strong. It means you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour, you slam on the brakes, you get out of the car, you go around to the back, and you take a good look. That's what the word behold means. That's in my definition. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, what does that really mean? Well, I don't understand it exactly, but not only does God engraven you on the palm of his hand, but on both hands. Now, here, wait a minute. He didn't say, I put your name on my hand. No, a name might blow away. He's graven you on the palm of your hand. You're Presbyterians. Our daughter in South Carolina goes to a Presbyterian church, and she's forgiven us for being Baptists, but okay. You're Presbyterians. And being Presbyterians, my wife was here this morning, but when she was just a little girl, she didn't say Presbyterian, she said pedestrian. But you're Presbyterians. You know what that means? One of the things that means, you believe in the security of the believer. You don't lose your salvation. It's fixed forever. Once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want you to come into my heart and save me. Once Jesus comes in 6 inches below your collarbone on the left-hand side, guess how long he stays there? Huh? Forever. He never, ever leaves you. He's there forever. Now, why is it a big deal when we say that God has graven us on the palm of his hands? Why is that a big deal? Well, I'll tell you why it's a big deal. Because as a frail human being, believing in Christ Jesus and so on, you are prone to leave the God you love. You're prone to backslide. You're prone to sin, all of that sort of thing. But you see, your salvation is a fixed covenant relationship with God Almighty. And it's when you receive Christ, that's it forever. We say, well, what can I fall? Well, in it, I didn't say you wouldn't be perfect after that. You'll do some bad things. But guess what? When our girls were kids, and when they did something wrong, what did I do? Well, I took them in the bedroom, and we had a conference. That's sort of a sweet way of putting it. If I did that today, I'd be put in jail. But wait a minute. We had a conference, you see, and there was a spanking. But wait a minute now. God will spank us because he loves us. And because he loves us, he's going to see to it that everything else is going to be all right in our lives. One thing more I want to tell you about. We can thank God today for all of these matters, but we can thank God for his word. You know how precious it is to have the word of God? Well, sometimes I see these pictures of some of these people that would be in Africa and so on, and the truck is rolled up and is giving out all these Bibles, and they have a Bible. They have a Bible. And it'll be like this. They'll be kissing the Bible with a smile on their face. I now have a copy of the Word of God. You have 6 copies of God's Word at your house, and you're only reading one of them. But this is the only one they have. And so they're so thankful for the precious, precious Word of God. A fella died in the hospital in Chicago, and after he died, they took his body away, and when the head nurse came into the room, and when she came in there, she tried tidying things up a little bit, you know, and she, what's this down here now? Underneath the covers, she found this Bible, and she said, oh, that's one of those Gideon Bibles. She knew what it was. And so she took that Bible and she opened it up and she turned it to the back. Oh, there's some writing on it here. That's what it says. It says, my commitment. It says, I confess to God that I am a sinner.
I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised back to life so that I could be made right with God. I now repent of my sin and receive and confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And what he did to her is he signed his name and he dated it. The date was the day before he died. The family had no recollection that he had ever come to Christ, but that when he saw that, they knew for sure he had gone on into glory. What's so precious about it? Well, that preciousness is the Word of God. This isn't a great preacher preaching of any kind. This isn't somebody ministering. This is just the Word of God. That's the answer. The answer for the nation's problems is the Word of God. The answer for our problems is the Word of God. And so it is. We can thank God that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How precious to you this morning is your Bible? Is it just something you read on occasion? Or is it something that's very precious to you? We have a occasion of a drug lab that was operating in the jungles of Brazil. 40 men are working in that drug lab and producing methane and whatever that is, and cocaine, whatever that is, that's around the world. Well, the Gideons in Brazil had been doing their homework, and for some way, they were able to get a Bible into the camp of these 40 men producing these drugs. All right. And so one by one, the fellows started to read the precious Word of God. One by one, these men came to Christ and got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Out of the 40 men, 12 of them, by the way, the drug lab folded up. But out of the 40 men, 12 of them, as we sit here this morning, are pastoring churches. And then we say, well, I wonder if that was really worth it. Somebody gave us $5. We bought that Bible and we distributed the precious Word of God. That's what changed their lives. That's what restores the marriage. That's what restores relationships. That's what builds the nation. It's because we have the precious, precious Word of God. In closing, let me say this. You're Presbyterians. That's Presbyterian doctrine. That's fine. That's good. You have a Bible. That's good. You go to church here every Sunday, don't you? Yeah, that's good. But you know, I've got to remind you of this. You can come to this church every Sunday, year after year, die in your sin, and roast in hell for eternity. Why? Because it just went through the motions. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus, receiving him, putting your trust in him, getting born again. If you don't get born again, my friend, it won't matter if you're a Presbyterian, a Baptist, it won't make any difference. You've got to personally know him as Savior. I was sitting in chapel one morning at my alma mater, and a man stood in the pulpit, and he said this. It shocked me. He said, I pastored a church for 9 years. It was a Baptist church. Pastored for 9 years. That meant Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, on all the Bible studies, the homework. 9 years. One Sunday morning. The Spirit of God spoke to his heart and drew him. And he repented of his sin under his own preaching and there told God, I'm a sinner, lost. And Jesus, I want you to save me. He became a Christian after 9 years of pastoring a church. church. You could be sitting here every Sunday, lost as Satan himself, because you've never been born again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, unless you receive Christ, you're lost in your sin. You won't even see the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me for prayer? Dear God, this morning, we're so thankful for the testimony of this church, the thousands of people that have witnessed the Jesus sign out front. Thank you for these dear people. Bless them and bless them good in the future with a pastor and all of these things. But dear God, if there's someone here this morning that has never personally come to Christ and had the experience of being born again, church member or lost in sin, God, I pray that they would come and trust you, believe on you, surrender to you, ask Christ to come into their heart and save them good. Not many opportunities may be in the future, but there's a time today that they can make this right and trust you as Savior. And I pray, God, that they would do so today. Bless these congregation. Take care of their every need. And how thankful we are for your ministering, your blessings over the past years, 19 years of your blessing. And bless them in the future and take care of them, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.